Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, providing the financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Thrivent Financial. Let's thrive.
One step up, two steps back.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The stock market has fallen into a predictable pattern of late. Big losses followed by a rebound, followed by more losses. Monday, the Dow dropped 237 points. Yesterday, it gained back 215. But the index is still down almost 1,000 points for the month. The Dow starts this morning at 12,958. The NASDAQ is at 2581. It added about 40 points yesterday. The S&P 500 climbed 21 to 1428. The Asian markets finished down a fraction. European shares are a tad higher so far. The price of oil has slid the past few days. It's at $94 a barrel this morning. But $100 oil could come any day. Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, I know OPEC had something to say this morning. What's their position at the moment?
Well, OPEC, of course, is coming under intense pressure from consuming countries like the U.S. to pump more oil to prevent the price from going over that $100 a barrel level. But now, again, the Saudi oil minister and the president of OPEC have both just repeated the familiar mantra. They say there's plenty of oil around. The market, they say, is well supplied. The rise in price towards $100 has nothing to do with supply. They say it's due to other factors.
Is that mainly still the weakness of the dollar?
Yes. OPEC in particular says that the dollar has lost a lot of value against other currencies. It's perfectly reasonable to expect it to buy less of key commodities like oil.
But is there any evidence that OPEC is wrong here, that there actually is a tighter market for oil?
Yes, I mean, some of the analysts that I've been talking to say that evidence from the market and from various data around the planet indicate that actually oil supplies are tight and there are definite worries about winter demand. And they point to the fact that the price of crude fell pretty sharply yesterday, precisely because of expectations that, in fact, OPEC will relent and next month it will increase production.
Well, I guess we'll find out more, Stephen, when OPEC meets next week. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, Scott.
You've probably heard the term medical tourism. This is when people fly to other countries to get health care, joint replacements or surgeries mainly. In most cases, these people don't have health insurance. Asia is the hot spot for medical tourism, but that's a long way to go. Canada is much closer. Here's Stacey Vanek-Smith.
Choice Medical Services has launched the first Canadian medical care program geared towards Americans. Founder Darren Jorgensen says the facility will mean easier flights and shorter trips for U.S. customers, and he says it's still a great deal for the uninsured.
Yeah, most of the patients are saving approximately 75-80% on what they would have had to pay for the same procedure in the U.S.
Medical tourism is expected to become a multi-billion dollar business in the next 5 years. Healthcare strategist Les Funtletter says that's a major red flag.
Be forced to go to another country to get your care indicates that we probably do have a problem here in the U.S. that needs to be addressed.
Until then, business looks poised to continue booming. Medical tourism is growing about 25% a year. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Monday was indeed a big day for online shopping. The market research firm Comscore says sales hit $733 million. That's 21% better than the same day a year ago. 60% of the money that was spent came from work computers.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, supporting the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation's mission to cure diabetes and its complications. More at jdrf.org. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It's day two of the Middle East Summit in Annapolis, Maryland. Yesterday, Israelis and Palestinians agreed to revive peace talks. Their goal is to sign a treaty by the end of next year. Commentator David Frum has these thoughts.
As half the world gathers at Annapolis, markets will want an answer to one question. If somebody ever could persuade the Arabs to make peace with Israel, how much would the price of oil come down? Short answer, probably not a dime. Oil is hitting record prices, nearly $100 a barrel, for two big reasons. Our old friends, Mr. Supply and Madame Demand. 20 years ago, China and India barely registered on the world oil market. Today, China is the world's second biggest oil consumer and number three importer, and India is the world's sixth biggest consumer and number eight importer. While the demand side booms, the supply side looks gloomy. Of the world's top 15 net oil exporters, only three at most, Norway, Canada, and charitably, Mexico, offer secure investment regimes and reliable political stability. The rest of the list looks like a roster of international danger zones: Russia, Iran, Venezuela, Nigeria. Then, of course, you have the Arab oil producers, whose oligarchic regimes frustrate their young, underemployed populations. People connect oil to Middle East peace because of the experience of the boycott during the 1973 Yom Kippur War. They forget that the Arab exporters imposed a similar boycott in 1967. That first boycott failed because market conditions were against it. The second succeeded because in the inflationary 1970s, market conditions favored it. It's the market conditions, not the political decisions, that matter. We cannot predict now the exact path by which future oil supply and future oil demand will adjust to today's painful prices. We can only be certain that they will. And when they do, they will be driven by market events, not the will-o'-the-wisp of Annapolis.
David Frum was a speechwriter for President Bush. He's now a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. As always, you're welcome to share your thoughts with us and with other listeners on our website. It's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.